Zion of Sefer Mishle. We're now going to take a look and see how the father is continuing to speak to the child using the elaboration of the same mashal of the Isha Zara, keeping in mind that these terms, Zara, Nachriya, have negative connotations. B'ni shmor amarai mutvatai titponitach. And keep my words, make sure that you not only store, but titspon, right, which generally like tzafun, gana to hide them with you. Right, keep these as part of who you are. Shmor mutzvotai v'chiyeh v'torati ki'ishon enecha. Not only keep the commandments and you will live, an idea that we've seen as well, this almost encouragement of arichut yamim. And keep the teaching, ki'ishon enecha literally means the focus of your eye, the apple of your eye. Koshrei mal etzbotecha, katzvei maluach libecha. I don't know how many of you did this as youngsters, but and tie something around your fingers. Remember all those Bert and Ernie, you know, okay, remember the bread, butter, and milk, whatever it may be. And not to remember them, write them on the tablets of your heart. This is a term that we find used also in Nevi'im. Yechezkel, who's told to write something down on a tablet. When you write something on a luach, keeping in mind that these were generally stone luchot, and that it would be there in a permanent fashion. Emor lechochma achuti at. Many of you are probably familiar with this famous pasuk. Turn to wisdom, turn to morality, and treat her like your sister. Right, someone who is very close to you, who basically shares the same genetic material. Umoda la bina tikra, and call bina, call understanding. Also, amoda, someone that you know, one of your relationships. Lishmorcha mi isha zara, and why is it so important to this time hide, internalize, literally have this enter your bloodstream? Right, put your DNA right into wisdom. The reason is because only this way really will be able to save you from the isha zara. Now, until now, he basically identified the Isha Zara again as any of these negative seductions that can allure one. And once one is allured, it's very difficult to get out of the entrapment. But now we see that if you already have it as part of your consciousness, right, as who you are, your personality, then it's easier, right, to just stay away from her. Lushmarcha mi Isha Zara. The point of this is to protect you from the female stranger again, from these negative seductions. Minochriya amareha hechalika. From the foreign woman whose words make you slip, right? Hechalika, her words are going to seduce, and once you get caught, you basically are going to continue to slip. Ki b'chalon beiti va'ad eshnabi nishkafti, because I look out of the window of my house, and I look from the window pane, and for those who remember in Tanakh, there are a few, interestingly, women who look from the chalon. Right, can anyone remember who some of them are?
Yeah.
Very nice. Aim Sisra, Rachav, very nice. So we place Michal, beautiful. Izevel, right? These are all women who stand by the window. Basically, it's a very vulnerable state because you're not fully inside, right? You're exposed to the outside. Please keep in mind as well that a window in the time of Tanakh was much higher up, right? It wasn't necessarily meant only for ventilation, but also placed up on high, obviously for privacy. So when one looks out of the window, and I see, he says, Ve'erebif ta'im avina babanim nar chasar lev. I see, and from afar, right, all those people beyond, those that are naive. I see banim na'ar chasar lev, even na'arim, people who grow up and without really have an understanding, without an understanding heart, meaning people who don't necessarily internalize the messages. And then what happens? Over bashuk itzel pina, he passes through the marketplace and he goes to the corners, who generally hang out in the corners of the marketplace. Again, the promiscuous people, the zonot, the whores, v'derech beita yitzad. So what happens? He starts to walk then in the direction of her home. And Chazal will be very sensitive to these words. It starts as re'iya, it then becomes over, like an aveira, and then a tza'ada. It starts just with sight, and then one is allured to this, and will start passing, literally the aveira, so to speuk, and then is already walking, pasuk tet. Not only is he going in the direction of her house, but b'neshef be'erev yom be'ishon layla va'afela. He's going in the direction, particularly in the evening, in the dark of the night, right? This term of neshef, right, is, right, the, today, neshef is the term that's used for a ball, right, that happens in the middle of the night, right? These parties, b'neshef, erev yom, it's specifically when things are going to turn dark, b'ishon laila v'afela, and very soon, pitch black, pasuk yud, v'nei isha lekrato, a woman appears right in front of him, She tzonah tzurat lev. She is dressed like a zonah, and she's out to, literally, she has an agenda. She wants to capture other people's hearts, right? This is her profession. So what is he saying if we understand that it's a mashal? There are various seductions, some that just wait in the corners, and if you're strong enough, then you're able to withstand them. But if not, sometimes even out of basic curiosity, you're going to go and you're going to pursue all these other wisdoms, all these other modes of behavior, perhaps immorality. Again, it looks like fun, it looks interesting, but at the same time, you recognize that there's what to be somewhat embarrassed of, and therefore you wait until dusk, you wait until the night, you wait until people aren't around. And then she's going to take advantage because she's the type that is not only provocative, but she also leads astray. And not only is she the type to be provocative, but she is never one to be at home. And this is an idea that, especially coming from a father, right, to a child at a young age, makes a lot of sense, right? Don't leave your home through the marketplace and then end up at her home. She's not an akeret bayit, meaning she is not one to really invest in the home, which is also consistent with this mashal. She is not one who's going to provide for stability. Again, these types of wisdoms are not going to give you a sense of fulfillment. Again, that's the idea of lo yishkenu ragleha. Pasuk yudbet, ha'am b'chutz pam b'rchovot ve'itel kolpinat erov. Sometimes, she's out in the back. Sometimes she's out in the streets. Sometimes, again, she lies in wait, basically, in every corner. Look at this very harsh word, to erov. And she is waiting, basically, to ambush. Right? She's waiting to attack. V'chazika bo v'nashkalo. And then she grabs him. She kisses him. Hey, zapanaha v'tomarlo. And then she brazenly says to him, look at Pasuk Yudalid. Zivchei shlamim alai. Hayom shilamti nidarai. Al ken yatati likratacha. Lishacher panacha v'mtzeeka. Marvadim ravadati arsi. Chatuot etun mitzrayim. She continues, Nafti Mishkavi, Mor Oalim Vikinamon, Lacha Nirvedodim Araboker, Nitalsa Beahavim, Kein Haish Biveto, Halach Bederach Mirachok, Tsro Hakesef Lakach Biado, Liam Hakese Yavo Beto, Hitatu Berov Lacha, Bechelex Vataha, Tidichenu. So we're going to see. And how this is such a dangerous speech that she gives, that one can really just fill in the blanks with regard to any type of immoral behavior. But take a look at how this is justified. What does she say? And the reason why I read the psukim together was to give you a sense of, and just like you find various times in, especially Kohelet and Shir HaShirim, a song within a song. So this is basically a song with many allusions, by the way, to Shir HaShirim, because they're all the forms of imagery that we find by love there as well. She says, I've already given ashlamim, and I have fulfilled my neder, right? This is how she's going to justify. Not to worry, right? I already did the right thing. I fulfilled my nedarim, which, by the way, if one is really out to atone, perhaps, for misdemeanors, you'd expect, what should she say? I've already offered my chatat, not necessarily my shlamim, but she's giving the impression, I made all these different types of nedarim. And now I'm going to fulfill all of them. And trying to not only promising him some level of absolution, but by also bringing a shlamim, she's saying, you can be part of it. You can join me in my barbecue. Right, Rashi says, she basically says, I went to the Beit HaMikdash today, and I offered a shlamim, and I have some leftover meat for you. And indeed, Chazal say that this is exactly the way that the Yetzer Hara works. The Vilna Gaon, right? The Gra says, first it endears itself to its victim through showing affection and a promise of sensual pleasure. Thereby it arouses and hooks its prey. And it does this by concealing not only its true intentions, but specifically under a cloak of purity, making its enticements appear as though they were Torah-ordained commandments, like eating the meat of a karban shlamim. But then, when the yetzer hara, when the evil inclination senses that its victim is no longer capable of offering any resistance, that's when it's going to explicitly charge the person to override, transgress. So that's what we're going to see from the song over here. I've already given a karban shlamim. This is a great way to entice him. Oh, come, we'll have a barbecue together. Okay, that seems fine. And that's why I'm coming to you, she says, to invite you. Al ken yatzati likratecha. to invite you. And what do you know? Le shacher panecha v'emtzeka. I wanted to propose this to you, and I found you. So now, what should you do? You know, I cleaned up the whole house. I decorated the house for you. So there's no reason why you should put down my invitation, decline. I already made my couch look so nicely with marvadim. Where does this remind you of? Marvadim mastala sheish vargaman lavusha. And we're going to see the same words by the Ish et Chayil, who's the antithesis to this Isha Zarav and Achriya. Again, Marvadim Marvaditi Arsi, I already put over my canopy bed, I put all these different fancy sheets, Chatuvot Etum Mitzrayim, and made them with the best of the Egyptian linen, and I perfumed my bed, right? Wow, what a way of seducing him through all the different senses, right? The Egyptian fine cotton cloth, and also the sense of touch. And she's telling him, oh, you will see such beautiful things. Obviously, she's speaking to him, and now she's also going to appeal to the more sensual, or what we call the ethereal senses of smell and taste. She says, Nafti mishkavim or alim v'kinamon. I perfume my bed with all these various spices, with myrrh, aloe, cinnamon. So, lacha nervado de marabuker. Let's drink our fill of love until the morning. All right, basically, let us not only intoxicate ourselves, but halach but let's continue. Nitalsa be'avim. Let's embrace ourselves again with love. And, ki ein ha'ish beveto, don't worry, you won't get caught. Isn't that true that we tell ourselves, and don't just think of, again, of sexual seduction here. Think of any type of negative seduction, immorality. What do we tell ourselves? This is a perfect song of rationalization, of justification. It's going to be okay, and we're not going to get caught because my husband's not at home, she says. Again, he's not even here, and he's gone far, far away. So this term is used, and in halacha also, ba'ala ino ba'ir, right? He's not even in the city. There's no way he can come home. Sura kesef lakach b'yado, and what's the proof? And he took his money with him, so he's only going to return in liyom hakeset yavo bito on a particular time, and only when basically he finishes with the money. If he took the money, then that means that he's going very far away. He's going to need to cover various expenses, so you have nothing to be afraid of. This is where her speech ends. Notice that it began with her bringing him into the bayit, v'chazikabo v'nashkalo, and then she says, Zevchei shlamim alai hayom shilamti nidarei, and it ends with yavo beto. He's going to come to the home. Right? She's trying to get him, trying to get this innocent man to come to her home, and instead of her husband. Hitatu b'rov likha, she is going to sway him. She is going to entice him. Again, specifically with her skill. B'chelek svataha tadichanu, and generally all that is needed is speech. Right, very, very polished speech of hers. Again, with this, again, the same chilek lachlik, the slippery talk of hers. Holech achareha pitom. And then what happens? Suddenly he follows her. And this is very insightful as well, because think of all those times, again, that we call it the Yetzirah that's talking to us, basically our own, perhaps, insecurities, our own weaknesses and shortcomings. Not only do we justify and do we rationalize, but it happens pitaom, right? There usually is that moment where our guard is no longer up, and that's what happens to him as well. Notice this very harsh term that he says. He follows her, kishor el tevach yavo, like an ox who's going to slaughter. By the way, you're familiar with Nevi'im as well, with the sheep that are going to slaughter. This is an ox, meaning he is strong enough, he could have and should have been strong enough to withstand her, and yet he is going to be slaughtered. Yavo ke'achas al-musar evil, and like a snake, Nana going to afflict the foolish one. Right, this is very sad. Ke'achas is like, again, not only the snake that we're familiar with, but also has within the term as well, right, of Eresa, some say, but Eches are basically chains, right? She's basically chaining him and into a trap. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Ad yefalach chetz kvedo kemaher tzipor el pach, a term that he used as well, and like an arrow that's going straight into his liver. By the way, in Akkadian terminology, and certainly in Egyptian term as well, we had mentioned that there are certain psukim that you find in Mishlei that are almost verbatim what you find in the Egyptian words of morality in Amanapat. And one of them is this pasuk, because it was known then Again, they didn't necessarily know about the cuneiform in the brain. They all knew that the liver, right? They understood that the liver, which changes color, and we know today scientifically because of the bile, they thought that that was the seed of wisdom, right? You see this in Sefer Tehillim as well. So again, the idea of an arrow going through one's liver is a way of saying, right, he is completely not making any sense anymore, meaning she basically shuts off all of his intelligence, right, his moral intelligence. So now he's as vulnerable as ever. And what happens? K'maher tzipor al pach, just like a bird that hurries to the trap, not knowing that it's going to cost it its life. V'lo yadaki b'nafshohu. He basically is giving up on his whole life. By the way, these are very harsh psukim in the sense of the imagery that's involved. That you can imagine as a young child, if this is a scenario that your parent, that your mentor exposes you to, then when you're in that scenario, what are you going to think to yourselves when you're passing by, I don't know, that non-kosher restaurant, or you're deliberating, right, whether or not to transgress certain halachot, maybe even halachot of erva, or when in general, right, you're seduced to a very difficult situation morally, right? What picture now do you have in your head? Picture of an arrow going through your liver, or a picture of a bird, right, entering into a trap. And that picture alone should be enough to deter you not to sin, right? He is being very exacting in this imagery because he's hoping that this is what the child will internalize. And therefore, look at Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Now we're going to see the summary of this perek. Ve'ata banim shim'uli. So the entire class of students, now that you have a picture of this, listen to me. V'hakshivu limrei pi. And this is obviously an antithesis to her slippery words. Listen to me. I'm not out to trap you. Al yest el drachah libecha. Do not let your heart turn towards her. Al tetah v'nitivoteha. Don't go after her ways. Ki rabim chalalim hepila. Because many an innocent man then became a chalal. In other words, she has struck down many, many dead people. That sumim kol harugeha. There are numerous, all those people. You don't want to be counted amongst her victims. You know that house that seems so nice? You know that house that has perfume sheets on it? It's really a haunted house. Don't go near that place. Gana, that's the road that's going to lead to the Sheol, your dot el chadre mavet. Descending into her house is descending basically to the den of death. Right? So very horrific terms that are being used here in order to ensure, or to do one's utmost to ensure that one will not be led astray. Notice, by the way, that this perek, although incorporating the exact same mashal, was much more descriptive and also took us in slow motion, right? It starts off in the marketplace. In other words, it starts off as soon as you leave the embrace of your own home. As soon as you leave Torat Imecha, Gena Musar Avicha, as soon as you're no longer and protected by literally your parents from home, then you are vulnerable. And he's hoping that the words of the parents will remain with the child even when they leave the home.